my doctor and I have what you might call a love-hate relationship. He's a good doctor. He's compassionate. He's caring. He's knowledgeable. He's even responsive. And he's very clear. In fact, I know when he's about to end the visit because he gets up from the stool and walks to the door, and I realize I've got about a minute left. But he's a good doctor. But for the last 3 years or so, we've been locking horns. It's the same every time. My big toe swells up to twice its size, and I can hardly walk. Or my ankle starts screaming in pain. Or the joint of my index finger flares up. And after trying to ignore the symptoms for a week or two, I finally surrender and make an appointment. My doctor comes in and he plops down on his uppity doctor stool, staring down at me sitting uncomfortably on the medical exam room table, covered in that thin strip of scratchy sandpaper that I'm firmly convinced is solely intended to torture and humiliate patients. He takes one look at my aching joint and he says for the umpteenth time, "Well, you know, it's gout." Then I, very politely, of course, obliquely accuse him of sounding like a broken record and immediately trot out all the reasons I think it's not gout. Because obviously, as a priest, I cannot be afflicted with what's known as the rich man's disease. That would just be embarrassing. Plus, I don't want to take a pill every day for the rest of my life. So my doctor smiles indulgently as I tell him about all my internet searches on the symptoms of gout and how it really can't be gout because of this or that reason listed on the various websites I've explored. And at my last visit a few weeks ago, I finally wore him down and I got a referral to a specialist. It only took 3 years, but I won. Of course, I went to that specialist, and she looked at me, and she said, "Well, you know, it's gout." Today marks the beginning of a new adventure for our parish. Kids are back at school, families have returned from vacation, and summer is basically over. As has become our custom, we start a new season with a fresh theme that this year we're calling Getting Better Together, a Year of Healing and Spiritual Wellness. Throughout the year, which will run from Memorial Day, will run through Memorial Day, we'll be reflecting together on the healing power of Christ in our lives. And like other wellness programs, we'll be offering you resources designed to help you assess and increase your own spiritual health quotient. Now, you ask any doctor, and they'll tell you that they absolutely hate WebMD, right, and other online symptom checkers that I use to debunk my doctor's false gout diagnosis, because these websites often dispense inaccurate or incomplete medical information that can be misleading for people. So doctors hate that. But in the case of your spiritual health, we're actually going to encourage you to do some self-diagnosis. In fact, we're calling our first message series for this new year Holy Triage. Because we want you to take your own spiritual pulse and consider what areas of your life might need a little healing or at least a booster shot in spiritual wellness. And you're the best person to do that for yourself. During this series, we'll be looking at five different problem areas that trouble a lot of people. Things like failing to set and maintain priorities, keeping score through social competition, avoiding commitments, clinging to unhealthy relationships, and adhering to dysfunctional religious attitudes. To be clear, there are many other areas that we could examine if we had enough time, but hopefully these five, over the next 5 weeks, will help you get started in diagnosing what's wrong, if anything, and figuring out a spiritual wellness plan just for you. But probing for soft spots in our spiritual and emotional lives can be difficult and frightening and even overwhelming. As with any health issue, there's a number of obstacles that can keep us from exploring spiritual complications within ourselves. For one thing, we might be in denial about where we really stand with God. In fact, you might be thinking right now, why are we focusing on healing? I go to Mass, I pray, I'm a good person, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm just fine. But that would be a lie. The Bible says about Christ that he was pierced for our offenses and crushed for our iniquities. By his wounds, we are healed. He is the Messiah who comes with vindication and divine recompense, as the first reading tells us, to open the eyes of the blind, to clear the ears of the deaf, and to make the lame leap like a stag. The entire Christian religion is predicated on the belief that something is wrong with us. Otherwise, we wouldn't need Christ. It is Christ, the man of sorrows, who gave his life for us. And if we don't at least believe that, then it's game over when it comes to our spiritual lives as Christians. The truth is, we all have wounds from living life. And these can range from minor hang-ups to true brokenness. And we are all in need of healing. Another obstacle to spiritual wellness is fear of self-discovery. The process of looking within yourself and discovering your true self is daunting because it's uncharted territory for many of us, and you never know if you're going to like who you find when you really get to know yourself. My father died of colon cancer at the relatively young age of 62. For at least a year, he said he knew something was wrong, loss of energy, bleeding, and other symptoms, but he didn't do anything about it because he was too afraid of what the doctor might discover. He feared the discovery of a serious illness, so rather illogically, he ignored the symptoms and ended up paying the price. In the same way, we ignore our need for spiritual healing at our own peril. Now, denying a problem and fear of discovery are not the only barriers to spiritual wellness. You may be surprised to learn that fear of recovery is also a problem. Psychologists say that people who have struggled with an illness for a long time, especially an addiction or a mental disorder like depression, actually can be afraid of what it feels like to get better. The health crisis over time has begun to take on a sense of the normal. Feeling better is new and different and may feel uncomfortable at first because it's unfamiliar. Venturing into a world of wellness is uncertain because it's not clear what to expect. According to a recent article in Dr. Oz magazine, I don't really read that, I just found it on the internet. Anyway, according to that article, the most common reason for failed attempts to lose weight, for instance, and I'm an expert on this, by the way, is not lack of knowledge about how to do it, but rather the fear that comes along with it, fear of heightened expectations, fear of the loss of a particular identity or a self-image that has been ingrained over the years. Hard to believe, but many people cling to their spiritual and emotional dysfunctions because they would rather stick with the familiar than risk the unknown. In today's gospel, Jesus heals a deaf man with a speech impediment. As with any disability, there's little doubt that over the years he had developed compensating behaviors that allowed him to cope with his condition. And healing would mean giving all that up. Most of Jesus' healings, took place in full public view. But here, he takes the man off by himself for a private encounter. Why? Why did he take him away from the crowds? Well, we don't know, but what we do know for sure is that Jesus knows and understands the unique needs of each person, including their fears and worries. And perhaps in this case, he sensed some anxiety. Out of the 17 recorded instances of physical healings in the gospel where the health condition is known, nearly three-quarters of them, 75% of them, involve Jesus opening the eyes of the blind, clearing the ears of the deaf, or making the lame walk again. We do hear about other healings like a fever breaking or dropsy clearing up or leprosy vanishing and even a withered hand made whole. But the vast majority of what Jesus healed were symbolic of spiritual afflictions, of being deaf to God, of being blind to his presence and powerless to walk with him on the journey of life. In response to the mighty works of healing by Jesus, the man today was able to hear his voice, to sing his praises, and see his glory. And that is the greatest healing we could ever know. But it means allowing ourselves to be vulnerable enough before God and to be broken a bit more in the process. Sometimes things have to change and get worse before they get better. You know, I'll give you an example. This weekend, we're celebrating the renovation of an old, unused chapel over in the convent that we have transformed into a beautiful space for our new Sunday morning faith enrichment program for kids. Our grand opening is Sunday morning, tomorrow morning after 9:30 Mass. And as part of that process, we needed to remove an enormous altar, a huge altar. It was about as big as the back altar here. We had to remove it. And we're going to refurbish that altar, and we're going to use it here in the main sanctuary. I don't know if you've noticed what a little toy altar we have here, but that is just not big enough for this space. But anyway, so we're doing that. And at first, that whole process was really scary. As the carpenter started probing, peeking inside the massive wooden structure and exploring how the altar was attached to the wall, he told us that he wasn't sure it could be removed in one piece. In fact, he said that this beautiful hand-carved altar built almost 3/4 of a century ago might actually be destroyed in the process. There was simply no way to tell and no other way to proceed. We held our breath and took the risk. And in just a few short months, we will have a magnificent new beautiful altar that has been restored to its former glory. I'm making this point, I'm telling you this because it's an analogy to healing our souls. The process of healing our souls and our lives is similar. It requires risk. It can be painful, but the reward is worth it all. You know, after the man's speech impediment is cured, Jesus, it's funny, isn't it? Jesus ironically tells him to be quiet. Right? He just heals the speech impediment. He says, don't say anything about this. Well, all the people in the crowd, and presumably the healed man himself, well, they could not contain themselves. And they proclaimed the marvelous deed that Christ did. Whatever fears the man may have had were all washed away in the recovery he was now experiencing. In the same way, once we admit that we are broken, and take the risk of opening ourselves to the healing power of God and experience the tremendous abundance of new life after that painful process is over, we will inevitably stop and ask ourselves a very simple but powerful question. What in the world was I afraid of? Join us this year on a journey of self-discovery, healing, and spiritual wellness.